We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
For me, accountability is consequences and, you know, actions. If you're not doing right things on the ice, there needs repercussions, whether it's being benched or in the press box. If you're not playing winning hockey, and I think consistency is the other thing. I think at times you could see that we were a great team, and other times we're too casual. That's something that has got to be instilled in us with the consistency. It's us in here in the room holding each other accountable if there's someone not playing the way they need to, and obviously needs to come from up top too. And that's something I don't think we had enough of this year.
Fascinating comments from the locker room there, including the likes of Tage Thompson, as the Buffalo Sabres were cleaning out their lockers, but also dismissing their head coach in Don Granato. Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday here. Derek Kramer, TJ Luckman here with you as we get things going for hour number two, thanks to Greg Thompson of Cover One joining us in the last segment there. And with the Sabres, it is just that, like, those were such fascinating comments, though, about the accountability and whether it's the players in the room and they were owning up to it, but also even when they were owning up to those mistakes, almost every single comment seemed like a rather large indictment on the coaching staff.
Yeah, for sure. And I think a lot of it stems from, I don't want to say it stems from this, but you see a lot of the comments being, you know, we need to be more accountable. I saw a lot about we need needing to practice harder. And it's very funny that those are the comments after Casey Mittelstadt goes to Colorado. And the first thing he's saying is that, you know, we're practicing harder than I've ever practiced in the NHL and all this stuff. So I think that was, I don't want to say it was eye-opening to guys, but it was definitely something that guys noticed, and maybe they're looking at their own habits or what's going on inside. But one way or the other, the message wasn't able to get across, and now we're here.
Yeah, it's just, and I had put something up on this on Twitter a couple days ago when those comments were being made, and I thought it was fascinating. And there were some, there was some pushback on it, like, why aren't the players able to hold themselves accountable? Have you ever been in a bad workplace leader, like in a bad workplace where the like leadership is just like, eh, or like, ah, we don't care, whatever? That's kind of what it is, or what it sounds like to me, is that the higher ups don't really care if you screwed up on your job that day, and there was no repercussions, there was no talking to you, and or not you, or like your coworkers, and like you want to pull your hair out because Becky keeps screwing up 18 times a day, and it's the same 18 mistakes every time, and you want to go insane, but they don't do anything about it. And this happens every single day. And you can call them out about it, but it doesn't, but there's no discipline from the top. And that's what I think I would relate it to. And the other part of it is, am I really going to be surprised that young players, yes, they've played in the NHL for several seasons now, but a 21 or 22 year old is going to have the full definition of accountability in practice, not just in theory, when they're used to being the best players on their respective ice heading into the NHL? No. I'm not going to expect that. It's okay. But now it's another reset button. It's another head coaching search for the Buffalo Sabres. And now is probably the better time than ever to head to the Western Hotline as we get Rachel Hotmire from Spectrum News on the Western Hotline here on a Sports Talk Saturday. Good afternoon, Rachel. How are you?
Great. How are you guys?
You know, the sky just started turning gray as we're beginning to talk about the hockey team. So take that for what you will.
Just fantastic.
So obviously, Rachel, the Sabres, they finished their season, no playoffs, and a bit of a disappointing season, to say the least, after the emergence that happened a couple of years back here. However, now also coming with the cost of the Sabres need a new head coach after dismissing Don Granato.
Yeah, and it seems like the team is moving pretty quickly on that front. I wouldn't be surprised if there was a new bench boss in the next week or two, to be honest with you. You know, these things happen. Kevin Adams said that it was his decision to let Granato go, even though he consulted Terry Pegula and others around him in the front office. But at the end of the day, something was going to have to give after this season. And I think the players also did a pretty good job of recognizing that it's not Granato's fault that they ended up in this situation. There are many contributing factors. But either way, the work is definitely cut out for the next guy.
Yeah, and the players definitely brought up that accountability was a factor, you know, with everything that was going on. What do you make of those comments with the accountability from guys like Tage Thompson and Rasmus Dahlin and wanting that out of their next coach and the qualities they want out of their next coach?
Yeah, it was very interesting to watch as kind of a theme, honestly. After the first day of locker room cleanout, I almost did like a Sesame Street style stand-up. Like, the word of the day was clearly accountability. Love a buzzword to use. But ultimately, I think it can refer to many areas where that sort of bled out. And it's not like Granato didn't try to hold them accountable, because there it did get to points where he shortened the bench or had guys take a break to sit up in the press box. Joki Haru, it happened to Owen Power, it happened to just guys that needed a bird's eye view of the game and to be taken out of it. But I think messaging is also a big part of that. And in order to get these guys to maybe understand the direction they were going in, he phrased it in a maybe a more supportive way. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. We can talk for 45 minutes about how coaching players today is not the same as it was 20 years ago, just with how we are as a society. But at the end of the day, what Granato was able to give them was the confidence to actually find a lot of their core games that I don't think they would have gotten to at this point if they had been being yelled at and having a boot put up their back to get to this point. So there are so many avenues that when all these players are so raw, developmentally, still in the thick of things when they're coming into this system, whereas you see other NHL teams who do a lot more of that development at the lower levels. But when you had such raw talent here, Granato went about it the way he did, and now the players are ready to be pushed a little harder.
Rachel, of course, you made mention of something, though, that based off of Kevin Adams' comments, how they're moving very quickly with this head coaching search. And this, unfortunately, puts one tear in my eye, because my pie-in-the-sky idea was Rob Brind'Amour. Obviously, connections with him being in Carolina. But the way that they're moving very quickly here, who would you suspect are some of the presumptive targets with this rapid coaching search?
Yeah, you know, Kevin has made it clear that they want someone, he used the term pedigree, but with NHL coaching experience. You could throw a lot of names in there. Obviously, Lindy Ruff is one of them. I was not here for his time, but he's also no stranger to the area in the offseason, even when he's been with other teams such as the New Jersey Devils. So that's definitely someone people love to throw out there. There's Berube, there's Gallant. It's just the reality of the market right now. I just don't simply think Adams wants to wait for the playoffs to end in order to make a hiring like Rod Brind'Amour. I also think he's a cool coach, and it definitely intrigues me as a character to put in the room. But at the end of the day, Sabres are working on their own timeline here. So there are plenty of names you could throw out there just based on who's in the market, who wants this job. But it's all about how they're going to fit with what the Sabres say their direction is.
Now, Rachel, I know this is a bit, probably getting a bit ahead of the game, but how important is it in the coaching search, do you think, for Kevin Adams when he's talking to coaches? How important do you think the assistants, that whoever the prospective coach is going to be, how important is that? We know that the Sabres had issues on the power play this year. Last year, they had issues on the penalty kill. They can't seem to get the special teams right for both sides of it. So how much is the coaching search in terms of looking for complementary pieces for things to fix the power play and things of that nature?
Yeah, that'll definitely be part of the discussion, because some of the staff that has been retained might not be in their same roles that they've been the last few years. I could see Ellis moving into a different role, still on staff, still consulting with those type of things, but maybe in a different facet of the game, maybe moving into a more player development or behind the scenes role. It could happen to anyone that's still stayed on. I think they're really looking at it from all aspects here. And if they have coaches that trust their other assistants that they have worked with over the years and say, I want to come in this guy and install this and do this and that, I don't really know that Kevin's in a position to say no to that right now and not shake things up a little bit. So who the Sabres kept as of now is staying, but there's definitely plenty of fluidity behind that.
Rachel, when it comes to further questions within the locker room, leadership, anything else of the sort there, a couple of the names that obviously are the first to come up here, being Rasmus Dahlin and Alex Tuch, probably the two favorites for a suspected future Sabres captain. Being around the room, who would you think, more or less, this could be a tougher question for someone with a relationship in the locker room like that, but seeing them more often than others, who would you think probably has the favorites, I would say, to more or less be wearing the C and being the ones to be kind of the new face of the franchise as a captain going forward here?
Yeah, I think both Alex and Rasmus would make great candidates. They both have very specific passions and work ethics that set them apart, and how much they dedicate themselves to their own games, to the franchise. There's a lot going for both of them. I think a lot of people forget Dahlin's age and just how much has been put on his plate already as a leader in this room. Him and I first sat down when he was given the A full time just to talk about how much responsibility has really been given and expected of him. There wasn't too much of a choice there, but he's thrived in that. And I also think he has continued to grow in the right direction in that process. So I think both of them would be great, but maybe instead of picking a favorite, I'll give you a dark horse candidate that I think a lot of people on the outside just don't know much about him being a leader. And I would say Dylan Cousins in that aspect. He, first of all, has my respect for the way he goes about things, especially considering the adversity he went through this year and the way he's owned it and talked about his game. Just a lot of, you know, stick taps for me on that end. But as a leader in the room, he's kind of a quiet candidate to the outside. But he speaks his mind when he has to and really puts his head down and grinds and inspires a lot in that room. So that's my dark horse.
So I want to switch over. Obviously, coaching is going to be the focus, but on the back end, Kevin Adams has more of a job to do in terms of the roster over the summer. Some guys are going to be leaving. You've got four unrestricted free agents in Victor Olofsson, Zemgus Girgensons, Tyson Yost, and Eric Robinson, and also some restricted free agents as well. The one I'm looking at mainly is Henri-Jokke Haru there, and also Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. So Kevin Adams has his work cut out for roster decisions. In terms of the unrestricted guys, is there anybody you think that might be coming back, or are the Sabres kind of ready to turn the page on those guys and bring in some fresh new faces?
Yeah, I definitely think you should expect Zemgus Girgensons to come back unless something changes. I think there's just a lot of mutual understanding there.
Yeah.
But I also think as they've let other grittier veteran aspects of the lineup go, that I just think he will be a mainstay. He's definitely deserved the chance to stay and continue his career here if that's what he wants, given how loyal he's been to this franchise. You know, that some other UFAs, I would see them keeping Eric Robinson. There were things he was able to do in the lineup that other players weren't, just like how we saw Jacob Bryson stick around because of his excelling in transition compared to what the rest of the guys were doing. So I think he sticks around. I wouldn't be shocked if Victor Olofsson is elsewhere next year. He's a wonderful guy. Really respect him as someone who covered him, but I think it couldn't get done last year, and this is an easy breaking point for Victor to pursue opportunities that would be better for him, not just for the Sabres, but he deserves an opportunity where he can work on his game more consistently rather than sporadic times in the lineup. So in terms of UFAs, that's what I have my eye on. And then, of course, there are plenty of pending guys like Krebs, you said Luukkonen, guys that don't know what they're doing for Worlds because of this contract situation. Mm-hmm. So some of those might get worked out relatively quickly. Krebs could be one of those guys that gets worked out quickly, but it's messy, you could say.
You also just mentioned Jacob Bryson, and I didn't mention him in the list of players that I had, but I thought Jacob Bryson looked terrific in spot duty this year, especially after the trade deadline. He had more of a mainstay in the lineup as a third-pairing defenseman. Are the Sabres going to try to bring him back as a seventh or maybe try to keep him as a sixth? I thought as a seventh defenseman he looked really good in being able to come into the lineup whenever.
Yeah, I agree. And part of, I think, his ready ability or coachability in that aspect as a seventh defenseman is, again, what a lot of this roster went through this year as it was being managed and tended day in and day out to accommodate three goalies for such a long period of time was getting used to the fact that they were then forced into more fringe roles going up and down. And he really excelled at kind of minding the mental game of that. I could totally see him sticking around and getting back to those minutes. I could also see a new head coach, if they're given maybe more options on the roster, making their own decision there. So that could really go either way.
Sure.
Rachel, we'll shift a little bit around the NHL here. Obviously, one of the big things, bigger stories from this past year, or from the end of this year, I should say, Arizona losing their hockey team. The debacle of a press conference yesterday with Alex Morello and Gary Bettman. But what are some of your quick hit thoughts here on the situation that happened with Arizona and Utah?
First of all, I guess I'm just wondering how long it's going to take for us to finally see Shane Doan and a group of investors come out and get this thing right, because to someone on the other coast, it seems like that's the right thing to do. We don't hear enough amazing things about Shane Doan, how invested he is in the community and the franchise. Of course, he's brought his son up through the same system and been able to take advantage of that opportunity. But it seems clear to me that Marullo, from someone who has never spoken directly to him, does not have it organizationally together to handle this, if this is how we got here. That press conference was bewildering at best. Thank God for video cameras so we can actually see how this whole thing went down. I've heard things that the Suns owner would have liked to get in on the business opportunity, but didn't want anything to do with the mess that had been created. It's unfortunate, really, because I do think hockey belongs and has a place to thrive in what people outside of Canada or the Northeast want to call, quote, non-traditional markets. I mean, it's so ironic that we're having this discussion about the Coyotes as Austin Matthews is trying to reach 70 goals in a regular season. Like, that dichotomy is insane to me.
Arizona zone, that's right.
Yeah, so it's just kind of, it bums me out, truly. I noticed that Scripps would be taking the whatever Utah Yetis, let's call them, team, and broadcasting their games from Utah to Arizona. And even Bettman said in his press conference yesterday, I don't know if that's going to help or hurt. There's probably going to be a lot of people that are bitter about that. And there's probably going to be a lot of people that are at least thankful they can watch this hockey team. Because just imagine the outrage if they moved and then couldn't even watch some of these players they've come to know and love. Again, messy, a messy time. The NHL is a soap opera.
Absolutely. And well, one of its greatest recurring seasons, though, is the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I have to say it, who'd be your favorite go-to for hoisting the cup here at the end of it all?
Oh, that's a great question. It is true. I do believe that the Stanley Cup playoffs are the best postseason in all of sports. And I think any argument to that is silly at best. Wouldn't it be like funny if this was Toronto's year? Probably not, but like it'd be funny, right?
It'd be funny.
It'd be funny for certain people, I bet.
I don't know how much I'd be laughing, but
yeah, it'd be funny if it was just like, oh, in the midst of the chaos, probably the least compelling storyline. But I don't know that they're doing it this year. Should I go crazy? Maybe the Islanders?
I mean,
They can't overtime loss their way to a Stanley Cup, unfortunately.
Exactly, right? So I'd have to actually see them get it together. And while I think the Capitals are having fun without meaning to, I don't want to go Florida or Boston because that's lame.
Respect.
Let's go Dallas. Let's have fun. Yeehaw.
All right.
I like it.
Rachel, appreciate what? The... oh, TJ's
I've got one more. I've got one more because...
Yeah, TJ.
Okay. You know what's coming.
Do I?
I didn't tell you. I didn't clear this with you ahead of time, but okay. you are a big oyster girly.
Woo!
Tell me about the best oyster you've ever had in Buffalo.
Ooh, the best oyster I've ever had in Buffalo. You know what? I finally got around to St. Mary's last month. A great Saturday night, if I may recommend to any of you, is to make a late night dinner reservation at Angeline's and then pregame it with some drinks at St. Mary's. You will thank me and dress cute for it. And they have some pretty good oysters, if I do say so myself. They actually brought in some cushies, which are from the West Coast, Pacific Northwest, like Seattle area, if I'm not mistaken. And if you've never tried West Coast oysters, I highly recommend. They actually have sort of a melon finish to end on them, a honeydew. And the shells are gorgeous, and I just love the little shells, of course. And there are many differences we could talk about structurally between East Coast and West Coast oysters, but if you're looking to try something new, they did a pretty good job with the shuck as well. So 10 out of 10 for my latest Buffalo oyster experience.
Very cool. Just to put out there for everybody, if you are interested in all of Rachel's thoughts on oysters, you can follow her on Instagram at I Don't Give a Shuck.
I love oysters. They're also fabulous sources of iron and protein, and I think people don't notice that enough. They're also really important to keep our oceans and waterways clean because they are natural water filters.
Love this. I'm learning so much right now.
There we
should
go.
Have you on for more oyster talk, honestly. I'm glad anytime, I got that
in. Anytime, guys. Anytime.
Okay.
Sports Oyster Saturday. Got it. Rachel, thank you for joining us here. Give a little plug of where everyone can follow you, not just for your oyster takes, your Sabres takes, or anything else going on in the world.
Yeah, I'm at Rachel Hoppmeyer on all platforms, HOPMAYER. You can always find me tweeting, posting, yapping. You know, the kids like to call kids who talk too much in class these days yappers. So I guess put me in that category, textbook yapper.
Rachel, thank you again. And, We'll be sure to talk soon.
Of course. Thanks, guys. Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday to you. That's Rachel Hoppmeyer of Spectrum News joining us there on the West Her Hotline as the Sabres begin another coaching search. As painful as it is to say, it's something that probably needed to happen. We'll get a little bit more into some details here with the Sabres, but also hopping back and forth between these two teams here today, between the Bills and the draft. Sabres in the coaching search, Coyotes, NHL playoffs, whatever you've got, 803-0550 is the number to call. To jump in here on a Sports Talk Saturday, Derek Kramer, TJ Luckman, you're listening to WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
He is dealing with personal matters. That's important to know. He is engaged. He wants this team to win. He wants to have success, and he's willing to do whatever it takes to win. And that has never changed from the moment I've met Terry Pegula. He has given me every possible resource that he has helped this team and helped this city, by the way. And I can't say enough about the dedication that he's continued to show this organization, the city, the players, and that's not changing.
Yeah, sure. Totally. Definitely believe you, man.
GM Kevin Adams says the end of the season there. I mean, I don't... He's not an absentee. That's the thing.
Here's my thing on whenever that comes up is that it's nearly never coming up as a direct question. It's just a thing he feels like he has to say. It's just like, man, let people complain about the billionaire owner who is quite clearly, like, obviously the NHL is not the moneymaker here, but
God, no.
I don't know. It's a guy like that doesn't need defenders, even in his own organization.
Well, regardless of what happens here, we do have to talk a little bit about that. Welcome back to Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, TJ Luckman, Evans on the board here. Obviously, the report from Tim Graham that Pegula is selling 25% of the Bills, roundabout. That's a roundabout percentage. It's not necessarily exact. But a minority owner of the Bills is on the table here. And the quick speculation on that is, you know, he'll be just looking to make a quick buck off of the team now valued at like around $4 billion. So, man, you want to talk about literally the rich get richer. That's what that is. I'm not going to go ahead and say like, oh, credit to him for that. Like, no, this is also, you're probably on the hook for the stadium overage costs, which I'm going to say this, good.
Yeah, I mean, that's
I don't want to be on the hook for overage costs. I don't want the rest of us to be on the hook for overage costs.
Yeah.
The area is already paying, quite honestly, way too much for it. But, again, this just also might be, this is how wealthy people stay wealthy. You know, you make moves like this. But the other part of it is, then you see people saying, oh man, why can't he sell the Sabres, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, he's not. We need to put that to bed. He will never sell the Sabres because he's a hockey fan. That's the thing.
I mean, wasn't one of his dreams that he said was to own the Buffalo Sabres?
Yeah, it just, like, he's a hockey fan. He's not going to go ahead and get rid of them. He likes hockey too much. That's why he stays away from the Bills and he's not, like, as involved with decision making, is because he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't like football nearly as much. Right now, that is his cash cow. It's not the drilling of oil wells. It's the Buffalo Bills in the National Football League. That's his moneymaker.
Just want to throw out there, even with his knowledge of hockey, doesn't know what he's doing over there either.
Oh, I know. And but I've said this with Zach before. He's a fan. He's a hockey fan. He's like us. Would correct. You put me in a general manager or decision-making position in hockey? God, no. I wouldn't do that to me.
There are, like, random people I know on the internet who I think would make better GMs.
I would absolutely value Chad DeDominicis and his opinion. I would put him in that chair. But
we got Chad. I'm talking, like, more of the guys that, you know, create all those stat websites and everything and end up getting jobs in the league anyway. Like, I think a lot of those people, it depends on their aspirations and what they want to do. That's obviously
have one of the most stressful jobs in public domain too.
Yeah. What's more, here's an interesting discussion. What's more stressful, coaching or GMing?
I'd say GM, because there's a lot that's not in your control. All you can do is put the pieces together, and you have to hope that someone dictates it properly and that the players play well. And if one of those two things don't work, you lose your job too.
Not always.
Not always, but it's generally how it goes.
Yeah, that's true.
So I would say, GM is a little more of like, and that's probably why it's higher profile, is because you control everything.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I generally think with the GM versus the coach, I think there's a lot more day-to-day pressure on you as a coach.
Yes.
Whereas GM, it's a lot of big picture pressure, where if your smaller moves don't go right, you have to alter or adjust to your big picture. And I think that this is a huge test for Kevin Adams, because this is really going to be his first go-round in terms of having charge of the roster and then also hiring his own coach. All the respect in the world for Don Granato, but he was already here when Kevin Adams assumed the role of general manager. And this is going to be the first time that Kevin Adams gets to choose his own guy from outside of the organization. And I think that's very interesting to see what will happen there. I think with Adams, he's gained an incredible amount of respect around the league, too. I know that 4 years ago, I was wondering what the heck was going on when they decided to promote him from Harbor Center.
Yeah,
I'm not exaggerating. That's what happened.
No, yeah, that is what happened. And it was like the public perception was a lot of potential torches and pitchforks.
Right. And that's not to say that the guy he was replacing was a guy you wanted to keep, you know, hindsight being 20/20. But ultimately, Adams has come a long way, and I respect the job that he's done, and I respect that what he's built here, even if it hasn't led to a playoff team yet, they've gotten close. At this point, they've made roster decisions. They seem to be very set on the roster itself, or at least their core players. So it's on Adams to find the right voice to lead those guys, and to find the right guy. I want to talk more about the accountability comments from the players. I want to talk about Don Granato's interview with Matthew Fairburn at The Athletic. I thought that was interesting as well.
Yes, and there's a lot to get to with this, and we'll have at least another hour in which to do so. Chris Ostrander, the Instigator podcast, will join us at 1:30 as well to keep talking about the Sabres. And in addition, well, we'll switch back to football as well, because we'll hit up that mock draft simulator. And I need to poison everyone's brains with a catchy song, and that's what we're going to do on the other side in hour number three. TJ, we started talking about the Sabres, and there were snowflakes flurrying around outside. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, what's, state of the team sort of thing.
There's no – I didn't even wear a jacket today. It's not that cold.
I was looking at them outside the window.
It's 44 degrees.
I know.
You're lying.
No, Pat Hammer also tweeted out, snowflakes in Buffalo at 41 degrees. Didn't learn that in weather school. Actually, it can happen if the atmosphere is set up just right.
Yeah, no, that makes sense, I'm sure.
So when the expert weighs in too, it's like, all right, well, that happened. I wasn't going crazy. So there we go. All right. Anyway, we come back, we'll talk more about the Sabres, we'll hit up the mock draft simulator as well.
Take your calls, too.
Take calls as well. Plenty to do still here with another hour of Sports Talk Saturday here. Derek Kramer, TJ Luckman, you're listening to WGR. Welcome back. Last segment of hour number two here on Sports Talk Saturday. Thanks to Rachel Hotmire of Spectrum for giving us the time in her day and her weekend here to talk some Sabres, the head coaching search, what the team is going to be looking forward to from here, and everything else. If you missed that, well, good news. It's on our website soon enough on WGR550.com, or you could always use the rewind feature on the Odyssey app, and you can listen back and find that as well. You could also hear from Greg Thompson, who was on in the first hour as we talked Bills draft options, the wide receiver train, everything else of the sort, as we get things going there as well. But for now, it's time to get connected with our fans. It's brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We go to Paul in West Seneca. Paul, welcome to Sports Talk Saturday. Thanks for hanging on, and what you got for us?
Thank you. I've got some things I'd like you guys to toss around with your fans. I've been following the Sabres since 70, the Bills since 60, so I've been around a while, you can say. And the thing with the Sabres, year in, year out, grit, compete, it's just the same story every year. It's amazing, except for certain players over the years, it's been a lack of that. And I've got a theory that I haven't heard much of because I think this guy is extremely popular. When you got a captain like Oposo, who, great guy, but his talent is definitely lacking, as you can tell when he goes to Florida and he barely plays. I go, did you guys think that had an effect when your captain is one of your weaker players on the team? Okay, one other thing, two more things, if you can toss around. I know you guys are younger than me, but your fans out there, I'm sure, remember, I'm not asking for an out-and-out fighter, but I like a guy, a rugged winger, like a Terry O'Reilly type, not asking for a lot. He was a Bruin winger who could actually fight and score. And it'd be hard to get a guy like that because you're drafting 18-year-olds. You might have to pick them up, you know, when they've had a few years in the league. One final thing. I was hoping they'd be interested in Michael Pekka, but he's been kind of ruled out because of the coaching experience. And I'd like to shout out to Lindy Ruff. I think myself and a lot of fans would be very happy to have Lindy back. Okay, I'm going to hang up and listen. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right, Paul, we'll go rapid fire here on everything in a sequential order here.
Yeah, so let's start on Okposo. And I got to say, I agree with Paul on this. Like, even watching him last year, a thought I had a lot was like, man, it's really nice that he was kind of able to turn around his whole situation here. He came here, he had the bad concussion issue, and the fallout from that. And after that, he wasn't really the same player, but I always thought he was able to kind of salvage a good story here in Buffalo ultimately. But I did think last year that he was kind of at the end of his tank. So it was a surprise to me when they did bring him back. And I sort of just chalked it up to, well, he's the captain, they like him for the room. But Paul brings a great point of that. Though he didn't say this directly, but the leadership is great, but you have to be able to play.
Yep.
And that, I think that also translates over to his, we need grit. And I like that he specified that the guy, we don't need a top fighter or anything, but a guy who can intimidate and also score, I think, is a huge need on this team.
That I think kind Jordan of player Green, is hard
Jordan,
to get.
It is. Like, your best, really the best thing you have on that right now is like a Jordan Greenway. It's probably the closest thing to what you're looking for out of that. In terms of like big guys that can score, unfortunately, a guy like Milan Lucic in his prime does not grow on trees. Those guys that big just don't play hockey, really.
Well, that, and if that player exists, they typically stick around with the club that they're with.
Yeah.
That's the other portion of this, is that you're not going to get a guy who can have semi-decent production and be able to throw fisticuffs.
Oh, yeah.
Because that team's going to go, that is the most valuable member of a bottom six. We're keeping that.
Yeah.
Like, how Zemgus Girgensons has his own value amongst this team as a defensive forward. Typically, teams like to hang on to that because, one, they're still relatively cost-friendly, and, two, they're a bottom-six option that you know winning teams need.
Yeah.
And if you are a winning team, you're not going to let that go unless, hell or high water, it's for way too much money.
Right.
The player I would think of in this sort of situation is Pat Maroon got way too much dough to move on, and it just, like, you don't do that. Like, financially, it won't make much sense to overpay for a player like that. And
yeah,
it's like, that's a tough one to go for there.
They're player. He's absolutely right. They're players that you, in speaking to that point, they're players that you have to draft and project that they're going to be like that.
Yeah.
So
that's tough.
Yeah.
And again, it's tougher when you're drafting 18 to 20 year olds and you don't know how it's going to project that way.
What's funny is I think the Sabres drafted that guy last year, but he's never going to get big in Zach Benson. And he has that grit and that tenacity of
the
just like...
The dog is there.
Just going into a corner of guys that are practically a foot taller than him and then coming out with the puck is just crazy to me.
Yeah, and he continued with that tenacity even when he got phantom penalty calls too. So that's the other brilliant part.
He didn't have a single legitimate penalty call on him or against him or anything like that until game 82 when I think he actually did check somebody from behind, and it's like, oh yeah, you did penalize. That was a penalty. That's a real penalty that you just got.
Yeah, that was a real penalty. They did something and got it called correctly. All right.
I hope next year he gets a better shake of the stick in terms of officials and his introduction to the league.
But I'm just happy that the dog in him has not rested. All right. Mark, hang on there. We'll jump to you in the next segment here before we hit up a mock draft, because that's what we got to do. It's less than 1 week. We got to hit up a mock draft simulator.
Okay.
Have to.
Okay.
All right. But before then, we got to take our quick break. Mark, you're on hold. Stay there. We'll get to you on the other side. Sports Talk Saturday rolls on for one more hour. Chris Ostrander at 1:30. You're listening to WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.